Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. So we've been talking about the rupture coming between congressional Democrats and President Obama on extending the Bush tax cuts. We've been hearing on this show and elsewhere about the president's Deficit Reduction Commission and its plans for containing the debt bomb by cutting Medicare and Social Security and the military and changing the tax structure. In their plan, about 75% of the deficit reduction would come from spending cuts, about 25% from tax hikes. Now, two iconic liberal economists are out with an alternative way. Joseph Stiglitz, winner of the Nobel Prize in economics a few years ago. His latest book is called Free Fall, America, Free Markets, and the Sinking of the World Economy. And Robert Kuttner, co-editor of the American Prospect magazine, senior fellow at Demos, the liberal think tank, and author of A Presidency in Peril, the inside story of Obama's promise, Wall Street's power, and the struggle to control our economic future. They are both talking about an alternative to deficit reduction. We'll talk about that and the Bush tax cuts deal as well. Professor Kuttner, Professor Stiglitz, so nice to have both of you back on the program. Welcome back to WNYC.
Nice to be here.
Thanks so much for having us.
And let's start with the President's Deficit Commission plan, since that's what you really came to talk about, and then we'll talk about the new rupture between Congress and the Democrats, Congress and the President over tax cuts. Professor Stiglitz, what were some of the best and worst things about the President's Deficit Commission plans, in your opinion?
Well, I think there were some specific items that they identified. For instance, if my reading, my recollection is correct, I think they said that we have to eliminate the special treatment of capital gains taxes to move to a fair tax. In my mind, it makes absolutely no sense to be taxing speculators at lower rates than people who work for a living. So that makes sense. But the overall strategy, another aspect that makes sense is the broad issue of broadening the tax base and lowering the rates, eliminating some of the what we call tax expenditures. What worries me is that they didn't have a clear vision of either the short run, the recession that we're in, the pace of its program, deficit reduction, is totally out of line, for instance, with what Ben Bernanke said last night, that it is likely that it's going to be 4 or 5 years, I think it's the earliest, it's optimistic, before we get back to any reasonable level of unemployment. So it's totally out of
right. Sync. So the president's plan just goes for deficit reduction now and doesn't say, as Bernanke kind of did last night on 60 Minutes, stimulate the economy now because we're still in such tough shape with respect to jobs and growth, and then cut the deficit later, right?
That's right. So, you know, the Deficit Commission was clearly, I don't know, want to say it too strongly, out to lunch when it came to where the economy is today. The second thing that they didn't really grasp is what has happened to inequality in the United States in the last 20 years. And that gives a very clear prescription for a design of tax cuts. Tax increases. They all have to be on the upper 1-2%. The good news is that if there's so much inequality that a slight increase in the tax rate on these upper-income individuals can go a long way to meeting our objectives. The third thing that I am very critical of is that they didn't really have a growth agenda nor a set of principles underlying tax policy. So, for instance, let me give you two examples. On tax policy, there's broad agreement that two principles of good taxes are, first, you tax bad things rather than good things. Bad things like pollution, speculation, those are the things that you ought to be discouraging. If you do that, you actually get a more productive economy and raise tax revenue. The second thing is you ought to tax things that economists say are inelastic in supply. So you want to tax rents, you want to tax natural resources, you want to tax the disposal, you want to make sure that you get good revenue from the management of our natural resources. We've been allowing mining companies to get access to those resources at a deep discount.
They did propose raising the gasoline tax by 15 cents, right?
That's right. And that's an example of something moving in the right direction, but really very, very small move in the right direction. And so it doesn't even put America in line with the Europe and the rest of the world in trying to curtail our excessive emissions of carbon.
But Professor Kuttner, Bernanke also said on 60 Minutes that in order to stimulate the economy, he didn't quite say it this way, but a lot of people say in order to stimulate the economy now, you should pump more money in, and this is not the condition under which you raise taxes, because that depresses growth. So he would support both more stimulus, which he's trying to do with this $600 billion purchase of federal bonds, and do not raise the rates on the Bush tax cuts. And Bernanke does support letting those rates stay low. So if the immediate concern is growth and stimulation, why don't you do both things? Why wouldn't you propose spending on the economy, stimulus money, but also keeping the tax rates as low as possible?
Well, the thing about the tax cuts, the legacy Bush tax cuts on very wealthy people, is that it's very well established that the least efficient way to stimulate the economy is to give tax cuts to very rich people, because they don't spend most of the money that they get back from the government. It's much better to take the same amount of money and put it into direct public investment, where you get a much bigger multiplier effect. So if you rescinded the Bush tax cuts on the top 2%, something like $720 billion over 10 years. You took that money, you put it into public investment, 21st century infrastructure, job creation, you'd get a much bigger bang for the buck. So the question is not whether to stimulate. The question is, what's the most effective way to stimulate? There's also an equity question. I think the whole approach of the Fiscal Commission was to put the cart before the horse. I mean, the problem is not how do we reduce the deficit. The problem is how do we get a recovery going. Once we get a recovery going, reducing the deficit partly happens of its own accord, because revenues come in again, because people are employed, businesses are investing again, and then at that point it makes sense to have more tax increases. But I think Obama has just made such a mess of the politics of this. If you think about it, with one hand, he's appointed this fiscal commission, which paints him into a corner where he has to show his good faith by being in favor of deficit reduction at a time when, if anything, the economy needs more deficit spending in the short run. And then in the other ring of the circus, you've got the Republicans trying to have, deficit widening tax cuts, $3 trillion over 10 years, which you can only get out of decimating Social Security, Medicare, and what's left of social spending. So, I mean, if you wanted a recipe for devastating both the economy and everything that Democrats stand for, you couldn't do much better than the policy and the strategy that President Obama has followed.
Can I just emphasize one point again, that is that the tax cuts are the worst possible way of stimulating the economy, tax cuts on upper-income Americans. So the issue is not whether you want to stimulate the economy. The question is, if you're going to spend money, what's the best way of spending it to stimulate the economy? And if you made a long, long list, you begin with renewing the unemployment benefits, which the Republicans have been resisting, and at the very bottom of the list would be the tax cuts of upper-income Americans.
Liberal economists Joseph Stiglitz and Robert Kuttner, my guests on WNYC, with some of their alternatives to the President's Deficit Reduction Commission, which reported last week. Coming up in just a few minutes, by the way, we'll play some clips from Schools Chancellor nominee Kathy Black's first sit-down interview. It was with Channel 7. We'll see what she had to say, and we'll get reaction from the president of the UFT, Michael Mulgrew, coming right up. Can I get your take on the finances of state and local governments that are getting more attention now? Are state and local government bonds going to be the next subprime mortgage meltdown, as the New York Times speculated it might this weekend? Professor Stieglitz, with so much hidden accumulated debt?
Well, you know, I thought that when we went into recession and the economy needed a stimulus, the first thing we should have done would have been to give money to the states and localities to make up for the shortfall in their revenues.
But they did do that, didn't they? Because originally President Obama was talking about, you know, infrastructure building and shovel-ready projects and all of that and greening the national infrastructure.
But instead, it
became a lot of money to state and local governments to preserve teacher jobs and police jobs and things like that, no?
Not enough. And that's why you've seen a very large cuts in state and local workers throughout the country. And it's contributed, obviously, to the fiscal crisis in the states. I think the reality is that the economic downturn has really hit the states and localities very severely. It's a crisis, a problem that wasn't of their own making. Like so much, it was a result of Fed not doing the right thing, regulators not doing the right thing. And now we have to live with the consequences. It seems to me, since the federal government was responsible for the creation of the economic conditions leading to the crisis, they really have to step in and help the states.
And Professor Kuttner, do you think that the that Medicare is a time bomb of a deficit problem without major changes, or do you think that that line of thinking is overrated?
Well, it isn't so much that Medicare is a time bomb; it's that the health system as a whole is a time bomb. I mean, Medicare, even though it's more efficient than the rest of the system because you don't have insurance companies taking the private insurance companies taking the huge cut. The problem is Medicare is located within a larger, vastly inefficient health system. So you can't really fix Medicare except at the expense of individual patients who would get less care under some of these proposals to turn Medicare into a voucher. You can't fix that without fixing the larger health system. And, of course, the way every other country does it is by having a universal system. Some of them are single-payer systems. Some of them, like the German system, have nonprofit insurance companies. But the difference is you don't have commercial health systems in other countries, and all of the other advanced countries cover everybody at an average of about 9% of GDP and have better health statistics, better longevity statistics than we do, because you don't have so many private sector middlemen taking such a huge cut. The so-called public option was a halfway step towards having a universal system that was compromised away. And my concern is that since health care costs are such a driver of health inflation and, in turn, a driver of long-term deficits, if we don't do this right, we're going to do it wrong. And doing it wrong means turning Medicare into a voucher. That's what the right wants to do. And that means that if you can't afford to supplement Medicare with your own resources, which is the situation of a lot of seniors, you're just going to get dismal care.
So, go ahead, Professor Stieglitz.
I just want to emphasize this point. If you took our current system but replaced it with growth projections of healthcare costs associated with the other advanced industrial countries, in other words, repaired the medical care system, it turns out that the Medicare problem disappears. It is a problem that is caused by the deficiencies in our medical care system. And so if you shift the cost, which is what a lot of people are proposing to do, you don't make people better off. You just shift who bears the burden.
We're almost out of time, but Professor Kuttner, I want to ask you to put on your co-editor of the American Prospect hat and comment on the politics. Are you willing to offer an opinion as to whether you think the Democratic Congress should literally show up the president right now if he makes this deal to extend the Bush tax cuts for a few years in exchange for an extension of unemployment benefits? Should Congress reject that, which they might have the votes to do?
Boy, the Democrats in Congress are between a rock and a hard place. I mean, as your prior guest was saying, you know, you don't show up your own president. On the other hand, their own president is just destroying them. He destroyed their ability to keep control of the House. He is destroying their ability to keep control of the Senate in 2012. And even if he gets reelected, he's like Typhoid Mary. He survives and everybody else gets sick. I'm right on the fence on this. I think, on the one hand, it would, and you know, economists always are accused of doing on the one hand this, on the one hand that. It would be a very salutary shot across his bow not to take the Democrats for granted. On the other hand, the Republicans are going to control the next Congress, and so they're going to do it anyway if we don't get some kind of a deal now. But I think at least it would clarify the difference between the two parties. Democrats, the president's compromises notwithstanding, are for tax relief for everybody but the very rich, and they're for extensions of unemployment compensation. The Republicans are opposing it. That message needs to be articulated loud and clear.
Our guests have been Robert Kuttner, co-editor of the American Prospect magazine. His latest book, A Presidency in Peril, the inside story of Obama's promise, Wall Street's power, and the struggle to control our economic future. And Joseph Stiglitz, Columbia University professor, Nobel Prize in Economics winner, and the author now of Free Fall, America, Free Markets, and the Sinking of the World Economy. We really appreciate both of you coming on with us.
Thanks so much for having us.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And up next, we will play excerpts from Kathy Black's first interview as school's chancellor designee and get reaction from the UFT president, Michael Mulgrew. Stay tuned.